You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Musical Monday. I think that's
hashtag,
what we should call it.
Yes, Musical Monday.
Musical Monday with a nice little hashtag.
It's also Memoryverse Monday on social media.
So I'm working on getting on the list for that banjo. Hashtag goals.
Right? I need to go get a ukulele.
But it has five strings. I understand six strings. Moving to five strings is confusing.
Whole new world.
Speaking of music, music and the word. How do they go together, especially when teaching the word? How do we use the gift of music for teaching the word? Joining us by phone this morning, Kenneth Koshy. He's Professor Emeritus of Music at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Kenneth, thanks so much for joining us this morning to talk about music and the word.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
Now, you served at Concordia University, Wisconsin for 31 years. Is that right?
That's correct.
What did you learn? What did you learn? What did you teach in those 31 years that was so meaningful to you?
Well, first of all, in terms of what one teaches, as you may know, with the Concordia system, you end up teaching a lot of things. I probably had 30 different classes over the years, but the majority of what my teaching was a course of music and worship. I had the choirs and played for chapel from time to time, and composing, arranging, and some music education courses. So that was kind of the background of what I did.
What were some of the best experiences? I know over 31 years is probably a lot, but something that stands out with how students maybe soaked up the word and especially maybe in choir or in one of the performance based something that really stands out.
Oh sure, well there's lots of memories with the choirs. Mm-hmm. I mean we gave on campus performances. I started. Something, you know, when I got there, they had a program called the Fall Concert. Well, that didn't sound terribly exciting. And so I started a Christ the King celebration because that would be in fall. Mm-hmm. And it was typically either Christ the King Sunday it had to be the Sunday before Thanksgiving because you got vacation and all that. Mm-hmm. And so then we tried to put some emphasis on the kinds of things that would be at the end of the church year. Well, we sang every version of Wake Awake for Night is Flying for a couple of years till you run out of those. And then we turned to other praise and the like. But that was kind of a highlight, at least for me. And I know it was for a number of the students as well, because we had essentially 3 months to get ready for it. And in some instances did some fairly heavy lifting with the music. And, of course, always with that component is not just simply trying to make beautiful sounds, but trying to explain what the whole thing is all about and how it fits in context. And not just a concert of 15-odd pieces, but a real program that worked together to drive home some kind of point. So that would be one experience, but certainly 31 years worth of touring. And we toured all over the United States. We went to Europe. We went to Brazil, we were in China a couple of times, Taiwan, and Shanghai. And the intersection of what it is that we learned with different cultures or different congregations, one of the things that I would tell my students, sometimes the university looks at tours like that as a recruitment device, and I suppose it is, but I always tried to tell the students that we're going to go out to various congregations, and they may do things differently than you've been brought up to do. But where the word is present and God is active, it's okay. And you may get a call to one of these places, so you ought to probably pay a little attention to the fact that there are other ways of doing things and other means of expression and other ways that the word comes across to congregations. So we had a number of just fine experiences with that sort of thing.
Those are wise words to future church workers and members of congregations, for sure. And from my personal experiences from choir tour, that's definitely true. Being able to connect with people across the country and across the globe that don't even speak your language, but having those shared experiences singing, they know what you're singing even though you're not singing in their language, and that's pretty incredible.
We were very fortunate when we were in the various different countries. Now, China was a little bit of an exception because, of course, they don't particularly allow the Chinese people to come to these things. And so we were singing at the international school, for example, in Shanghai. Although we somewhat surreptitiously were invited to attend the one Protestant church in Shanghai, and we ended up doing some singing. And it couldn't have been done in an organized fashion, or the government wouldn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
But we just sort of all wore our civvies and sort of showed up on time and sat various places. And then they said, oh, we have some guests here. And then we ended up singing for them. And with some nice interaction. It was kind of an international church, although certainly the Chinese language was used there. What I recall, the preaching and everything else was all done in English. That was a very touching moment for our students to realize. I mean, we have such privilege in this country that you can do what you want and say what you want and sing where you want and worship as you want. And then you get to someplace else where there's a policeman every fifth corner kind of keeping an eyeball on you. And you go to church and you have to be cautious about how you do that. That was an eye-opener.
Yeah. What is the relationship of music to the Word? How does music serve the Word?
Well, the Word comes first. I mean, the Word is powerful. God promises us that His Word has power. But He also gave us the gift of music, which is deeply effective in our lives. From a little child on, the first things that kids do is they gurgle and they hum and they make sounds and so on. It's pre-language, but they're already starting to sing, and so sounds affect people. So put those two things together and you have real power. It's as I wrote in that little article for Teaching the Faith, sometimes it becomes more than the sum of the parts. But the Word is always primary. And the music that is written for it needs to fit the affect of the text. It needs to even fit the word accents, the stresses, the important parts of it. In other words, you can't just sort of take a tune and say, oh, I wrote this lovely tune. I wonder what words I could stick with it. That's the back way around. You have to start with the word and then put the music to it so that the music is subservient to the word, but is also fitting and carries it well.
You mentioned the article that you wrote for the Pedagogy of Faith, Essays on Lutheran Education, and that was actually what prompted this. That was, there was an excerpt from that in the CPH Music blog, and it raised some questions for me as a parent and also as an educator too. How to use music to teach the Word? Any tips for us, Kenneth, as parents or as educators, in using the Word to teach children, or using the music to teach the Word to children?
Sure. Well, the first thing that I would say is sing with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do that. I think singing used to be so much more, I hate to say common, but I guess it was really in the homes. People would gather around. I remember my mother said when she was growing up, there'd always be a piano around. Her brothers and sisters and so on, there was always singing going on in the home. And now sometimes that singing is substituted by playing CDs and all that sort of thing, and it becomes more of a consumer sort of activity rather than an activity where the children are actually singing themselves rather than listening. We learn by doing, and certainly you learn by hearing. But when you put it into words and tunes and you do it yourself, it becomes stronger because you're working your way through it. So I would say, starting in the home, sing with the children. Even if it's very simple little songs, doesn't have to be anything complicated. Certainly the younger the child, the simpler the song. But as time goes on, to encourage active participation, get those kids into choirs in the schools, for example, and then encourage the schools to do literature that's genuine, solid material. Sing the Psalms. Sing hymns. Sing good lyrics that have some meat to them, rather than just sort of phrases and so on. Be careful of the text also. We can sell a lot of bad theology with a good tune, and that there's always a danger there. The tune is catchy. It becomes an earworm. It's in your ear, and it carries the word with it. Make sure the word that's being carried with it is good, solid stuff.
We are just about out of time, but in 30 seconds or less, young children learning music. Do they surprise us? And I know my son has surprised me in learning things that we didn't think that he could learn at such a young age when it comes to music.
Yeah, we sometimes underestimate the ability of children to learn things and to make them stick. We were, our four-year-old granddaughter in the car the other day, and she just all of a sudden started singing, "Bless the Lord, O My Soul." And it was just touching. And she had that down, and it meant so much to her. You wouldn't necessarily have expected that. So demand something also of children. As I said in the article, happy clappy is okay. I mean, you need to be joyful, but there are a whole range of emotions, and children have them as well.
Kenneth Koshy, Professor Emeritus of Music at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and also contributing author to the Pedagogy of Faith, Essays on Lutheran Education by Bernard Bull. Thanks so much for being our guest today on the Coffee Hour.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It is amazing what young children can do. My son has been surprising me with the hymns and songs that he has committed to memory that I didn't think he did.
Yeah.
Well, it's Musical Monday. It's been a fun coffee hour.
Yeah.
I'm Eddie Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.